I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Hour number two. Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Do a little college football here inside of our Quicken Loans studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Good first hour if you want to still get in on the Warriors stuff. Just tweet us at Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. Jimmy Butler's Philly debut tonight. We got week number 11 begins tomorrow. Packers in Seattle. A little college football, though, Teague. I know you wanted to throw a little curveball into the hopper here as we get into the rankings.
Look,
let's go.
Look, it was interesting last night, DT, with the college football rankings because nothing changed at all, despite some close wins and uneven performances and whatnot from some of these teams. Nothing changed at all. It was like, all right, it was like last week didn't even happen in college football. But it just sets up an interesting scenario because when you look at the top teams currently in the college football playoff rankings, Alabama's number one, as they were last week. Clemson's number two, as they were last week. Notre Dame is number three. They're all undefeated. And I believe Clemson will finish the season undefeated. They'll win the ACC. I think it'll likely be Pitt, unless Pitt falls apart in the last 2 weeks. But they'll play Pitt in the ACC championship, and they'll destroy them.
And by the way, before they play Pitt, if it is Pitt, they play Duke and South Carolina, just so people are on the same page with that.
Exactly. Gotcha. So I think Clemson ends the season undefeated. They'll be locked into the college football playoff. Whether they're one or two will be determined. I think Notre Dame is the same way, even though they have a little bit of a challenge with their last
Syracuse and USC.
Syracuse, who was really good, and the top Syracuse is 13,
right around 12, there, 12 or 13.
Syracuse 12 in the new ranking.
Yeah, they're 12.
So I mean, maybe there's a threat there, but I think,
and it's a neutral site, by the way.
Exactly,
it's at Yankee Stadium.
But I think that Notre Dame prevails in that game.
Yeah, so do I.
Ian Book will be back healthy. Uh-huh. Not that Brandon Wimbush played bad last week, but they're just a better team with Book there, and so number two and three are be locked in,
and they play at USC to finish up Notre Dame.
And they play at USC, but USC is not having a year this year. And I think Michigan, like you've been saying all year, they're gonna win out in the West, or win out in the East, in the Big Ten. I think they beat Ohio State, and then they play Northwestern, who's locked into the West. Northwestern's already locked up the Big Ten West, which is
crazy.
What a
good year for Northwestern.
Well, it's
really good.
It's an interesting year for them, BT, because they...
Well, great. I mean, very good in the conference. I don't think they've won outside of the conference.
They were 0-3.
Is that what it is?
And they barely beat Rutgers. Remember, I picked that game in a six-pack of picks. It was like 14 or something. They won by three.
They won.
They almost lost.
They won.
They've had like two or three drives per game. That's how they're winning. Mm-hmm. It's like an 80-yard drive or a 99-yard drive. They have one or two drives a game. They have a good defense, and then they find a way to win football games. My point being, Michigan is going to destroy them. And so I think Michigan ends up being in the conversation. Now, what happens, though, in the SEC, because we've seen this, and we saw this last year to an extent, Alabama and Georgia are already locked into their respective sides of the division, so they're going to play in the SEC championship.
That's December 1st at 4 Eastern on CBS.
Yep. And the reason, And the reason why it's interesting is because Alabama's number one, and Georgia, currently in the college football playoff that was unchanged from last week, is number five. So they're right on the outside looking in.
Okay.
If Georgia should somehow beat the Alabama Crimson Tide, which is really, really, it's going to be very difficult.
Go ahead.
Because
I'm following
how good they are.
If they somehow beat Alabama.
You have to now put Georgia in the top four.
Oh, right? I totally agree.
You have to put Georgia in the top four. The question is,
Who gets bounced?
Where does Alabama go? Do you pull Alabama completely out of this, even though they've had the best?
Out of the top four?
Out of the top four.
There's no chance.
So who stays there? Because Clemson and Notre Dame are I think, going to still be undefeated, and Michigan will be the only team with a loss.
Then Michigan can't go because Notre Dame beat Michigan. I know it's a long time ago, but how could I reward Michigan
over Notre
it's the
Dame.
First game of the season.
But it's a game.
That's the scenario that could play out that's going to make it really interesting for the college football playoff selection committee. Because I mean, that's the only scenario that makes this really complicated.
What if this happens? That is an interesting scenario. And by the way, let me just indulge you further. If that does happen.
Yes.
So just to reiterate.
Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship game.
Okay. Where would you put Alabama's obviously playing, but where would they go? Would they go to four?
They have to go to four.
Do they lose by a touchdown? Do they lose by a field goal? Do they lose by 20? I see it depends.
And that nuance is going to be the biggest.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't necessarily put them four.
Yeah.
If they lose at the horn or if it's a four-quarter game and they lose 21-17 or 30-27, I would probably dump them just down to two. I don't know that I don't know that there's enough that Clemson can do from now, whether it's against Duke, South Carolina, or Pitt in the ACC championship game, for me to justify putting Clemson over Alabama if Alabama loses a tight one to Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that.
Now here's the other question then becomes say Michigan, who lost to Notre Dame, right? First game of the season, Shea Patterson was just finding his way.
This is where I was going to go, by the way. This is the trickier one. Go ahead.
Just finding his way. Since then, their defense has been down. Are they number one in the country?
They're top five or six. They're right there.
Their defense has been ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Offensively, Higdon has been a great runner. Shea Patterson has done exactly what he's needed to be. If they go dominate Ohio State, right? And then they go and just destroy Northwestern, which I think it happens.
Okay.
In the Big Ten Championship. And they are heads and heels above the best team in a power conference in the Big Ten. And then Notre Dame doesn't have a conference championship game. Who do you exclude? Do you exclude Notre Dame, who beat Michigan? Or do you exclude Michigan, who lost to Notre Dame but just had a dominant finish to their season?
Under that situation, it would be a continuation of stellar play by Michigan that I would have to reward.
Yeah, and you'd have to
penalize
Notre Dame for not having that last chance showcase yourself.
Yep. Now, yes, I mean, that's the way I'm leaning now. Because Clemson's got no losses.
Me too, BT, but that's got it's really hard to sit here and say, wow, an undefeated Notre Dame team, a Golden Domer, iconic, you know, program, undefeated is not going to make it in the college football playoffs.
Well, listen, this is Notre Dame's problem.
That's what they're going
to
face.
Until Notre Dame decides to join a conference, they're going to have to. I know they play five ACC games a year, but, you know, when you play some other schools, like usually play Navy and you know, you got the USC matchup. You know, you're putting yourself. Here's the thing. Human bias is going to infiltrate that room.
Yes.
I certainly believe that.
Even though they recuse themselves.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want. I don't believe them. They're thinking about ratings at some point.
No doubt.
They're thinking about matchups.
You're right.
And I also think that it's going to influence not only who makes the four, but how they pit one versus four and two versus three. I believe stylistically that they can't help but somehow gravitate to certain things that they've seen for 5 months.
I think you're right.
That would be, you know, more exciting to watch or better for ratings or both.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're right.
I got another curveball for you.
Go ahead.
What about Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Because below that, you can't make, even though we had Washington State, you can't make a case for them.
No.
I mean,
the Pac-12.
If Clemson lost multiple games or it's just not enough time for that. I'm sorry, Washington State, with all due respect, I can't see them making it. Same with LSU.
Wait, who did they – God, if they hadn't lost that USC game.
They lost
game,
to USC by really, three? Yeah, 39,
it,
36?
It would be really interesting.
If it
they,
would be.
If they were undefeated.
I hear you.
And a Pac-12 champ, undefeated Pac-12 champion.
Well, think about it. They're really eight now. If they were undefeated, they'd be a spot certainly ahead of LSU, who's got two losses.
Yep.
And you might – I'd have to look at some other things, but they might even be where Oklahoma is right now.
I'd put them at six.
Yeah, I might
Oklahoma.
Too. But since that's not the case, let's deal in reality.
Yeah.
Does Oklahoma have a case here? Hey, guy, D-Cell, Mike, by the way, jump in. You guys follow this as much as we do. I think with certain things, it's always good to get a couple of different voices here because there's really – we're still kind of in the experimental phase. So if you guys got something, throw it out. I mean, is Oklahoma – is there any way for them to gain
Oklahoma,
any traction here?
Oklahoma still plays West Virginia.
And then they'll probably
then
they'll likely play them again.
And they'll probably play West Virginia again. So this is why – again, we talked about Notre Dame not being in a conference and not getting a chance for that last showcase game to say, look, we're undefeated. We're going to destroy whoever the opponent is in our conference championship, and we deserve to be in the final.
Mm-hmm.
The Big 12 is different because there's no division. So it's really – it's the number one team versus the number two team. Right now, the number one team is Oklahoma. The number two team is West Virginia. Now, they play each other in 2 weeks, right? So unless something happens next weekend, which I don't think it will. Who does Oklahoma play next weekend?
That I don't have, but I'll get that for you. Oh, Kansas. They're playing Kansas.
Yeah, they play Kansas. So they're going to win. And West Virginia, I think, is squaring off against Oklahoma State. Man, that could be a tight game.
Watch out for those Cowboys.
Exactly.
They're always tricky.
That could be a tight game. Mike Gundy had a good chance to beat Oklahoma last week.
That was a good game, except for he went for two. That was a good game.
To try to win it instead of going into overtime.
Respect for that, too, by the way.
No doubt.
Love it.
No doubt. So let's assume that West Virginia and Oklahoma are still number one and two in the Big 12, and then they play each other again for the Big 12 championship. I almost want the game loses emphasis because they just played each other the week before. It's gonna be
or it increases the urgency.
True.
For the one who won to make sure they win again.
But just think how weird that is. Yes.
I mean, that's attractive depending upon what you're looking for. That's a different type of attraction.
Yeah, I would have rather have had Texas be there for instead of West Virginia simply so Oklahoma could avenge the loss that they had. But it is what it is.
I can't waste time on the Longhorns when it's 7-3 here.
It's going to get
complicated. Maybe next year, Herman.
My point is, this is going to get complicated. It's going to get really complicated.
But here's the thing.
Unless Alabama takes care of business.
Which they will. Alabama's not losing the rest of the season.
Which I think they will.
Uh-huh.
Clemson takes care of business.
I believe they will. Yep.
Notre Dame wins out, which I think they will. They're going to have problems with a little bit of trouble with Syracuse and Dino Babers.
I think they'll get past Syracuse by double figures.
Because it's a neutral site, as BT pointed out. And then lastly, Michigan takes care of business. Then I think it's all clean. But
what if Michigan loses to Ohio State? Let's say Michigan beats Indiana, which they will.
Then they're out.
Let's say they lose to Ohio State. There's no way Ohio State.
I can't see Ohio State getting back.
But what if Clemson loses another game?
Clemson's not losing another
What if they
game.
Lose to South? They're not going to lose to Duke, but what if they lose to South Carolina? You never know. You never know.
There's no chance.
I mean, I hear you. What if Notre Dame somehow loses at USC? And you never know. I mean, these are rivalry games.
True.
They're young student athletes, rivalry games. There's an element of randomness sometimes. I mean, Ohio State wouldn't have a chance to get in here, would they?
Yeah. Ohio State sitting at 10. I think West Virginia might climb.
I don't think so, because I think the win over Michigan would be more impressive than a win over Oklahoma. So yes. West Virginia can only climb so high.
Yes.
Oklahoma can only climb so high because the teams they play are below them.
Yeah, agreed.
If Ohio State beats Michigan, who's number four right now, Ohio State could theoretically jump to 7 or 6.
Yeah.
I don't see West Virginia jumping a spot past that.
Yeah. I think Oklahoma's almost Ohio State is out, though. I really do. I think they're too far back right now.
And by the way, they're not really that good.
No.
I watched a lot of that Michigan State game. The best player on the Buckeyes was the punter that game.
Mm-hmm.
He pinned, it may have been 6. It was at least 5 that I saw inside the 5. Like, there were success, like, drive, where Michigan State was starting at their 1, their 2 twice.
Yeah.
There were 3. They got a safety. They snapped it out of bounds by design, Michigan State did.
Yep.
Try to kind of flip the field position battle. So Ohio State's just not overly impressive this year.
You're right.
So I don't know that we need to conjure a ton of energy because, you know, like I said, and you said this before, 5 weeks ago I said Michigan wasn't losing again, and that included a trip to the horseshoe. So I fully expect Michigan to win. And quite frankly, I don't want to see, no disrespect to the Buckeye fans because I've got a lot of respect for you. I don't want to see Ohio State somehow backdoor the 4 spot. They're not good enough.
I agree with you.
They're not good enough to even hang with Alabama. Alabama would just destroy them.
And I think Clemson's played great, deserves to be there.
Yep.
And Notre Dame, with some lower expectations coming into the season, have been exactly what you needed them to be. Brian Kelly's done an unbelievable job.
They've been great. Now, I know we got a break because we're going to chat with David Njoku, the Browns tight end. We're looking forward to that conversation. But, you know, as much as Notre Dame could get penalized for no conference affiliation, mm-hmm. on some level, shouldn't we reward them if it comes to all things being considered, even for not playing the Citadel, not playing Mercer, not playing one of these schools?
Yeah.
I know they played Ball State in, I think it was week 2 or week 3. They played, but I mean, even Ball State at least is in a mid-major conference. They're not playing, what is it, FCS. Which is the lower one?
FCS.
They're not playing FCS teams like a lot of these big schools are.
You're right.
I mean, so shouldn't that be somewhat, I don't know if it's factor number one or criteria number one. But really, Notre Dame doesn't have a layup the entire season.
True.
Every other power team does.
Stanford became a layup even though Stanford.
But that's not it. They also had a guy even, who was even supposed though, to win the Heisman
though,
Trophy.
Even though Stanford
healthy.
Was ranked 7 at the time.
Exactly.
So, and then Virginia Tech, who ended up being bad because their quarterback got hurt.
And where was that game?
That game was at in Blacksburg.
That was in Blacksburg.
Yep,
in that's Blacksburg. A tough place to play.
Very tough venue to play.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
but they had a pretty challenging schedule.
I agree. You give them credit. Pittsburgh is better than people wanted. I mean, that was a tight game.
Pittsburgh's not a bad team.
Navy's a rivalry game. Northwestern.
And Navy's uncharacteristically down. Yeah. Navy, I mean, maybe I'm missing you. I don't pretend to know everything about Navy football, but I don't think Navy football's been this bad in 10 years.
It really
maybe
is.
More than that.
No.
Because they had a stranglehold on Army for a long time.
Yep.
Fig, Navy's been pretty damn good for a while. This is just a down Navy team. All right. Hey, college football. You can talk it all day. Nothing wrong with that. David Njoku for the Browns. We'll get a timeout. We'll chat with him coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Well, they're turning the corner. Not quite there yet. Otherwise, Hugh Jackson would probably still be there. But let's face it, you watch the Browns and they're competitive. They got a lot of good young pieces on their roster. Good win this past week against the Falcons. And one of their good young players, he's certainly a piece of the puzzle moving forward. Tight end David Njoku, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. David, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing okay, man. No complaints.
Man. Yeah, you guys can't have any complaints either, at least as the drama seems to have faded. As that was all going down for you guys, what and really in the aftermath of your two head coach and your offensive coordinator being fired, Hugh Jackson and Haley getting fired. What did your GM say to you guys? I'm sure he had to come in and say something. What was the message to you all?
Just to, you know, try and stay focused through it all. You know, we've been dealing with a bunch of adversity throughout the year, and a mishap. So the main focus was to remain focused, and I believe we were working pretty well in doing that.
Yeah, it's never easy when those type of situations occur, but who took over? I mean, I know Greg Williams took over as the interim head coach. You guys are familiar with him because he's defensive coordinator, but in that locker room, what voice or whose voice became the driving force towards stability and focus?
I think it was all of us, you know. It's up to us to change, you know, how this has been going here in Cleveland. And we all bought in, and we're all playing for each other, you know, and that's most important. So that being said, we're focused on building off of this and doing great things in the near future.
You know, it's funny. There's different tiers, different steps here, and you know this, David. To eventually, before you learn how to win, you got to learn how to compete, and you got to learn how to compete for 4 quarters. Then you got to learn how to compete for 16 games, and then eventually closing teams out in the final few minutes is tough. Take us through the steps. I mean, whether it was the early foible, like the missed kicks, because you guys knew you were right there. You're knocking on the door. You quite frankly should have won a few of those games. Had to be pretty dispiriting to be that close, knowing you probably should have at least 2 or 3 more wins at this point. How tough was that?
I'm obviously, you know, it wasn't an easy pill to swallow. You know, we were right there in some of the games, you know, the Saints game and everything. We were very close, and it sucks that we didn't get the win, you know, as an outcome. But we're not focused on that anymore. We're focused on these last 6 games, and just doing all we can to win.
David Njoku's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. What is Baker like day to day? We saw all you guys on Hard Knocks. By the way, did you like Hard Knocks? Did you have fun with that?
It was cool. You know, just like, you know, more cameras, but you know, camp was the same to me.
Okay, so now that the cameras are gone, what is Baker Mayfield like day to day? Let's face it, if Baker's the guy, and I think we all think that he is. Then we know where the franchise is going. When there's no cameras, take us into the world of Baker Mayfield. What's he like as a teammate?
He's the same guy with or without cameras. You know? the same competitor, you know, great, great confidence. And he's a great quarterback, I believe, you know, and we're expecting great things from him.
Yeah, you know, we look at him coming into the draft and you didn't know how his skill would translate, but it seems to have been picked up. Have you seen improvement? I mean, each and every week it feels like there's something different he faces. Some of the challenges he succeeds in, others he doesn't, but he's always going forward. Is that infectious, right? His attitude, it seems infectious to you guys.
Of course, you know, we all feed off of that, you know. Us as an offense, we work very hard on executing. And, you know, it starts with the quarterback, and he does a great job, you know, being our quarterback.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing, and I played on some bad teams when I was with the Giants, and one of the things that when Coach Coughlin came in, we had a new coaching staff, the culture needed to change. And there's some things are small, like being on time and, you know, not playing video games or whatever little things are going on. How is that culture being changed in Cleveland? Because you, even if you weren't a Cleveland Browns fan, you knew about the malaise, the cloud that hung over this organization for so many years. How is that changing down there, David?
Well, like you said, it starts with the small details, you know, being on time, being there for treatment or for like the meetings that aren't really as important as, you know, the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And off of that, we build off of that and, you know, become a great team. But it definitely starts with those small details.
You know, I think we're all trying to GM John Dorsey came out, David, and he said that Greg Williams is going to get a chance to interview mm-hmm. for the job. And you guys coming off a really nice win against a pretty good, pretty talented Falcons team. What is the difference on game day that you feel or you see or you hear between Greg versus Hugh Jackson in terms of style?
I'm not really sure. I'm more focused on what I have to do during game day than to worry about that, honestly. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it's not about worrying. I'm just asking you to react to what the difference is. You don't have to worry about it. You can.
Well, you know, worry or react. You know, I'm not really focused on that aspect. I'm more focused on just, you know, just listening to music. You know, rereading my tips and reminders and everything. You know, I'm just focusing on the game and really who's talking.
Okay. There you go, Teague. Take it away, bub.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you everybody I think once has rooted for this team to try to get better. You feel like you guys are close?
Yes, I definitely believe we are. You know, I like where we're going. You know, we had a great game against the Falcons, and we're just like I said earlier, trying to build off of this and do great things. You know, in this next upcoming week against the Bengals and so forth.
Yeah, now you guys are on a bye this week. And, David, I know that you're a proud Miami alum. What the heck is going on down at the U right now? It felt like last year's momentum just went away early. Are you paying attention or following? I know you guys have Virginia Tech this weekend. I don't know if you're going to make the trip there. It's not that far to Blacksburg from Ohio. But what's going on with the U?
You know, they're working hard. You know, obviously this year isn't what they wanted. Thus far, but they're trying to finish strong, and you know they're doing a good job working hard. You know, you know, some things it is what it is. You know?
Yeah.
So they just have to build off of this and just keep working.
All right, David Njoku for the Browns. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You good, David?
There he is. They get the bye, and we'll get
come back with the Bengals.
The Bengals, Hugh Jackson.
Yeah. No surprise, right?
That's amazing.
Hey, Marvin.
Look who it is.
Hey, Hugh, it's
their
Marvin.
Coach.
Hey, you
want to
come be the special assistant?
Yeah,
basically
come,
help me beat the Browns after the bye week?
Play them twice, by the way.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to rank them coming up here. And this goes back to the conversation we had to start the show, really almost the entire first hour, the whole Draymond, Kevin Durant situation. So as we rank them, the most volatile locker room situations, we got a nice list here. And we'll get to that after Jay's update. Here's Jay Berman coming at you.
Be sure to check out my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, presented by GEICO. This week is part two of a series that I did with Horizon Media, where their employees are asking me questions about my life and my career. You can find it all on Spotify, Google Play, or other podcasting apps. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. All it takes is 15 minutes, and you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, Teague, what's going on? We are rolling here. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So it's a Rank'em Wednesday, all right? And based on the emotion, the schism, the fracture that has permeated the Warriors locker room with Mr. Durant and Mr. Draymond Green, Teague and I have comprised a list here of the most volatile locker room situations, and there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, there really are.
But have you ever seen anything bad? Like anything where it was like, ooh, this is really...
Yeah, there was one.
Beyond the normal
stuff.
I think
I told you this story after my rookie season in 97, and we didn't lose a game in the division.
Mm-hmm.
So we won the division. We hosted a home playoff game against the Vikings, and we played them well. And at halftime, it was like momentum all going our way. We're about to go to the second round. Coach Foss, I think, won Coach of the Year that year. We get to the locker room. I get to the locker room because mm-hmm. I ran in first.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody comes in. I'm like, mm-hmm. where the hell is everybody? They were fighting. Like, I told you, I think it was Tito.
Defensive guys.
Yeah, Philippi Sparks, yeah, Hammer.
Secondary guys.
Yep, and yeah. Hammer gets in the middle, who was a big defensive lineman.
Keith Hamilton.
Yeah. Trying to break it up. Dude, it was like, it was no Vikings.
But what was it over, though?
I have no idea, BT.
Was there any bad blood before that?
I mean, they were all knuckleheads, man.
They were tough cats.
They were tough
Tito
cats.
Tito was in a gang, wasn't he?
Yeah, early. When he was in early in his life.
I don't know, early days.
Yeah. But
Tito Wooten.
He was an awesome teammate. But
was he good?
He was a little bit off the wall.
Tito Wooten. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. And by the way, we ended up losing that game because we got destroyed in the second half.
Yeah, man. All right, let's see what kind of list we come up with. You ready to roll?
I am.
Here we go.
Everybody loves lists. Who's the best? Who doesn't belong at the top? Tiki and Tierney give you a different top 10 every week and help you rank them. Number 5.
I got a good one here. Going back to 2015, the Nationals, Bryce Harper and Jonathan Papelbon. So remember this debate, how it happened in the dugout in the middle of a game. But the history of it is Jonathan Papelbon hit a batter, and Bryce Harper was upset because he knew that in retaliation, he was going to get hit. And so the next game, Harper hits a pop fly. It's a lazy one out to the outfield and just basically jogs down the first base.
Uh-huh.
And when he comes back to the dugout, Jonathan Papelbon is just standing
chirping at him.
How about you run it out? You know, and which led to them going to each other's throats.
Yeah,
it got pretty intense.
It did.
Ultimately, Papelbon apologized, mm-hmm. But he was gone the next year.
I can't believe that was in 2015.
Yeah.
That feels like
it was
yesterday.
He was 21 years old, Bryce Harper. He was young, man.
And you know, I really didn't have a problem with Papelbon doing that.
I didn't either.
You know what I mean? There's got to be a veteran that... Look at that photo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's got to be a veteran that...
Yeah, literally at each other's throat.
I know. That has the license to kick a rookie or a young player mm-hmm. in the tail when he's kind of loafing around a little bit. Good call, Teak. I'm going to stick with baseball for number 5. How about these guys? Oil and water. Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent. Now, what you might remember is that they mashed. In 2002, they combined for 83 home runs and almost 220 RBIs. But they had a simmering feud that was below the surface until it wasn't. In June, I remember it escalated into similar to Papelbon and Harper, where they wanted to get each other public view, and they just could... They were so different. You know, Kent was the, I don't know, redneck is the right term. That's what he would call himself that. And Bonds was Bonds. And, I mean, it was a messy situation. And then he left. Jeff Kent wound up signing that big contract with the Astros. So Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent, number 5.
Number 4.
This one was classic. T.O. and Donovan McNabb in 2009 with the Philadelphia Eagles. And they were boys. Like, when they first got there, they saw each other in the Pro Bowl. They were tight the year before. Donovan McNabb lobbies to get T.O. there, and they're clicking, man. It's all working. And then T.O. gets hurt. Roy Williams horse collars him and breaks his fib, and he misses 7 or 8 weeks. And Donovan, who had started to get tired of the chirping,
mm-hmm.
said of T.O.
Kind of like KD,
yep.
getting a little tired of the Draymond Green chirping.
Yeah, he said, "We don't need to replace T.O." And then it got ugly. We all know what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
T.O. talking about how he was sick and they would have won, etc. The next year, T.O. wanted more money, and Donovan McNabb was like, "No, we don't need to pay that guy." T.O.'s doing sit-ups in the because they made him go home. So T.O.'s doing sit-ups in the driveway.
With his agent.
Oh, dude, lifting weights. He's like, dude, you're losing it, man.
That was a weird scene.
That was a weird, weird, weird drama. Obviously, T.O. was no longer a Philadelphia Eagle the next year.
Okay. This one could very easily be number 1 because this very easily could have gone in a very different direction. Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden.
I don't remember this one.
This was back in 2009. If you're watching this on the network on the simulcast, they were playing with the Wizards at this point. Gilbert Arenas, agent Agent Zero, I get. Remember, he was a really good player for a couple of years. Then he hurt his knee, I think. But they were coming back from the Suns game on a flight, and I think Crittenton owed one of them. I think Crittenton owed him money.
Yeah,
I believe it was $1,100. They
I got a money one too.
Usually, women were money with these guys, right? And I guess Crittenton pulled out a loaded gun in the locker room.
Oh, I remember this.
As the story goes, I believe that Gilbert Arenas the next day brought two guns in, mm-hmm. placed them on the chair, and said, pick one if you're going to use one. I mean, I believe Crittenton has since gone to jail.
Yeah.
He is in jail.
Samter just told me voluntary manslaughter.
Wow.
23 years.
Wow. Both players suspended for the rest of the season. And just imagine.
Yeah, that one's intense. That one could be number one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's in terms of severity. It sounds like something we've all seen these ABA documentaries. Like in the 70s, it was this lawless, drug culture and booze. And
yeah.
I mean, the ABA was wild. Yeah. The NBA was wild. And like, you could see this happening in the 70s. This happened in the early 2000s.
Detail just told me the details. Crazy. $1,100 over a card game.
That's what I said. $1,100.
Yeah.
I forget who owed whom.
Millionaires. But
yeah, I know. $1,100.
They're going to shoot each other over $1,100.
I guess it's pride at that point.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Or stupidity.
Yep.
Number three.
Derek Jeter.
Jace.
Alex Rodriguez. This all started with an Esquire article back in 2001. This is a couple years before they were teammates, where A-Rod, Rip Jeter, said he never has to lead. He just goes out there and plays and have fun. And he hits second. There's no totally different from fourth or fifth, comparing him to himself. Obviously, he then comes over to the Yankees, and instead of playing his traditional shortstop, he moves to third base. The rivalry just was always, always dicey, and especially when there were events. There was like an ice cream party or something that Derek Jeter had. It didn't invite A-Rod to. It was a team event.
Uh-huh.
A-Rod didn't get the invitation. It's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And how crazy is it that right now Alex Rodriguez is the more popular former Yankee than Derek Jeter?
He really is.
It's nuts.
I'll tell you, this was a story. You were playing for the Giants. We talked about this every day, local
radio. I believe it,
this
man.
This was huge.
I believe it.
The other thing he said, and I know you read some of the quotes, but he basically said, you know, when you come to play the Yankees, when he was with Seattle, when you come to play the Yankees, you got to worry about Bernie and Tino.
The Mashers.
Yeah, he really, he threw some shade at Derek, and Derek forgets nothing. And I remember they were playing the Orioles. There was a pop-up in the infield. Jeter playing short, A-Rod playing third, as you said. And there was some miscommunication. And you can find this on YouTube or on Google. There was a shot of Jeter looking back at A-Rod like, it was such an icy, so representative of where they were, their relationship. There was a long time they didn't get along. So yeah. I almost went with that. It's a good one. That's a really good one. I'm going to go with this one, though, number three. How about D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young? I mean, it's very easy to forget about this.
He broke up
his marriage.
I know. It was Iggy Azalea, right?
Yeah, of course it was Iggy. First of all, what a weird thing to do. You're in your hotel room on the road before a game, and you know, you got your phone recording, and you, this is your boy. You're talking shop with your boy.
Snapchat or something like that.
The early stages of Snapchat. I don't think D'Angelo really understood the repercussions of Snapchat. Probably one of those things where he thought that it just immediately dissipated into the ether forever. No, people saw it, and then, of course, there was a real problem there. I'm actually surprised Nick Young handled it as well as he did.
True.
Like, you would think if that was a different person, if that was Gilbert Arenas or Crittenton, I don't know if D'Angelo Russell gets out of that hotel room alive, God forbid. So that was a bad look. They both moved on, and it is what it is, but, man, talk about the bro code being squashed.
Yeah.
Number two.
All right, back in 2015, Geno Smith was the man.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was supposed to go to a charity event. And not only did he not go, he didn't pay back IK and Kampali, who then jacked him in his jaw. Broke his jaw, and he forced him to miss 6 weeks. Look, Geno was supposed to be the man going to this. This isn't late August. This is right before the season started.
Yeah.
Geno was supposed to be the man. Obviously, he couldn't be because he had a broken jaw. Fitzpatrick ends up taking over, has a great season.
With Fitzpatrick and Marshall.
Exactly.
Up with Decker and Marshall.
Yep, Decker and Marshall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fantastic year. Next year, Geno's just kind of the outside man looking
right now
because Fitz is the guy. Fitz obviously didn't have a great year, and Geno basically was on his way out. He was no longer the man anymore. They ruined and changed his career. By the way, IK got cut.
He did. And he went to the Bills. When Rex Ryan went to coach the
you're
Bills,
right, you're right.
He signed IK.
You're right.
By the way, $5 if you know where Geno is right now, backing up.
San Diego?
No, L.A. Because you said San Diego.
But he went to San Diego.
No, he didn't.
But he went to San Diego, and now it's L.A.
And he's in L.A., yeah. and I got the $5, which you ain't getting. Okay, how about this one? Good one. How about Reggie Jackson versus Thurman?
Yeah, man.
All right, this is crazy. And you know, they wound up winning championships in 1977 and 78. Yankees get swept by the Reds in 1976, and then free agency comes, and George needs to go out and get his big masher. And obviously, Reggie was a huge personality. Always. But the quote in, I thought it was Esquire, Sport Magazine. He says, this is 1977. This team, this is a quote. This team, it all flows for me. I'm the straw that stirs the drink. This where it gets really bad. Maybe I should say me and Munson, but he can only stir it bad. Who the hell says that? And it's one thing if you say, I stir the drink, you know, very pompous.
Yeah, yeah.
But then to denigrate Thurman Munson, who was the ultimate teammate, who was revered. It came to blows a few times, but you know, when Thurman perished in the car in the plane crash in 1979, very poignant. Reggie Jackson's in right field, and you see him visibly balding with his hat and his head and his head in his hand. So it actually got a little bit better, but it was obviously always dicey. Reggie and Thurman Munson. Look at that. Does that just screen 1970s that picture or
look
what?
Look at the glasses.
Look at the
wearing.
Fro. Look at the glasses. Look at the mustache. Look at these guys.
Like blue blockers on.
Yeah, a little bit. Or chips, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Number one.
Shaq versus Kobe.
Shaq.
They went on their three-peat.
How's it taste, Kobe?
2002. In the 2002-2003 season, Shaq had a toe injury, was banged up a little bit, and Kobe started to get upset. Obviously, he wanted to win four in a row. He couldn't do it without Shaq. But then in 2004, they got to the postseason, but they lost to the San Antonio Spurs that year. But then in 2004, things got dicey because this was the year of Kobe's Colorado issue with the rape charges. And then because he was coming off a knee injury, Shaq told Kobe, man, you should pass the ball more. I mean, give me the rock more. Kobe said, I know how to be a guard. You don't talk to me about being guard. You're fat and out of shape. And before you know it, it just started getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And the feud lasted for a long time until Shaq was dealt after his new contract with the Lakers to the Miami Heat. And when they played against the Miami Heat, they just didn't dap each other up for a long time.
They
it
had a
subsequently
big
has
yeah,
eased.
Totally. They sat down. They did the players only, which was really good.
But it was like genuine hate for a while.
There's no doubt. And as NBA fans, we got stripped. We lost maybe two or three more years of iconic stuff.
I agree with you.
You know,
they could have won five in a row.
Until
they decided they were tired of doing it, they could have done it.
What did I say during the Warriors Durant Draymond Green segment? You know, attrition and salary cap ruins the NFL. Ego ruins the NBA. It is what it is. It happens to almost everybody, you know? I don't know that it happened with the Lakers of the 80s or the Celtics of the 80s.
Yeah, because they could
different
have,
generation,
yeah,
different
they could,
players.
They could move as easily.
Like
free agency wasn't the same.
The commercialization or the monetization of brands wasn't, you might get $50,000 for a one day, which is great, but one day for a Converse shoot versus, you know, $35 million. It's just so different. All right, number one for me. Latrell Sprewell and P.J. Carlissimo. You know, just imagine. Just look at those two. Just imagine the guy on the right. And it was premeditated. Because first he did it. He put his hands around, visibly choked him out. Tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went back, went to the practice, and came back out and did it again. And he lost all of his salary, wound up getting reinstated. Knicks took a flyer, wound up doing great things with the Knicks. Got to the NBA Finals with the New York Knicks when they lost to the Spurs in 99. And Sprewell wound up kind of, you know, getting his name back. But, wow, what a hothead. And by the way, Carlissimo, and I know PJ, I love PJ. And PJ's been honest enough to say, I probably... You know, that was a change of the guard. Like, at that point, coaches were losing a little juice and players were starting to get some.
Yeah,
and P.J. was still kind of coaching like it was the 80s.
Yeah.
P.J. was hard on his players. And Spree, I'm not saying it's okay, but Spree wasn't having it. That is crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was this week's Rank'em with Tiki and Tierney.
You know what I almost did? I almost did the Incognito versus Jonathan Martin thing.
Yeah.
I almost got into that.
Yeah.
I passed on it, obviously. That, but I almost got into that. There's a lot of good
that
ones.
That one destroyed that team.
It seems like it kind of destroyed two lives, actually.
Yeah.
You think about
sense.
We're incognito, you know, Joe, you know, I mean, Richie seems to have some mental issues that people
right
have talked
now.
About.
Especially after his father passed away. We heard that story.
Yeah, that was pretty recent. But
Jonathan Martin got arrested for making a social threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
All right. Relation. You better watch it, Tiki. I'm going to turn on you, buddy. Tiki and Terry, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.